Welcome to the Normal Birth Podcast. This week, we talk to Meredith Kay about the birth of her daughter and the postpartum healing process. This episode includes discussion of the Ferguson reflex, pelvic floor therapy, postpartum depression, perineal tearing, advocacy, and self-care. Enjoy!
All right, how many babies do you have?
One.
Just the one? Just the one. Boy or girl?
She's a girl.
Girl. And when was she delivered?
September 12th of 2020.
2020. Oh, September babies. That's a good.
Yes, my little Virgo.
What's your sign?
Aquarius.
Aquarius. I'm a Virgo.
You are?
Yes.
Surviving. I love a Virgo. Never met a Virgo I didn't like.
Ah, lovely. All right. So, tell me about the pregnancy. How did it go for you?
I mean, it felt unfair how great my pregnancy was. Like, I kept waiting to feel awful because you only hear the awful stuff.
Yeah.
But it was fantastic. I felt great the entire time, literally. Like, of course, I mean, I was nauseated and tired in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that wasn't fun. And I was gigantic and sweaty at the end, especially because it was the summertime, but I felt great. I felt fantastic the entire time. But it was almost like karmic retribution because my recovery was not great. So it was well, you may have had a nice 9 months and we're going to make up for it afterwards. But my pregnancy was great. And it was, you know, my husband and I were obviously not trying to have a baby, but okay. I got pregnant in December of 2019. So like, I was pregnant almost the entirety of my pregnancy was COVID, but I didn't get pregnant when COVID was a thing. So I was almost like, I didn't sign up for this, but yeah. I don't know. People left me alone a lot. Like, I hear people talk about strangers coming up to you in the grocery store and rubbing your belly when you're pregnant. Nobody did that during COVID because nobody wanted to go near each other. So that was nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, my pregnancy was, I felt wonderful the entire time. I was like, if this is the hardest part, I'll have 10 of them. I was wrong. You're wrong.
Well, okay. So how did you know that you were in labor? When did that start?
So my mom was visiting. My mom lives in Georgia, but I was 9 days late. So she came up a week after my due date and just kind of like was at the ready. And that day, the day that I went into labor, my mom and my sister and I took my dog and we went hiking. We went on like a 3-mile hike. And again, I felt fine. So I wasn't like, I'm hiking to induce labor. She could have stayed in there as long as she wanted. I didn't care. But we hiked and then I was like, I'm tired. I'm gonna go home. So I go home. My mother-in-law was over because everyone was waiting, you know. Mm-hmm. And I walk in the door and my mother-in-law looks at me and she's like, you okay? She's an accent. You okay? I was like, yeah, I'm okay. She's like, okay. I was like, what do you mean? She's like, I don't know. You sure? I was like, I'm fine. What are you talking about? I was like, I'm just tired. Okay, I'm going home. She leaves. So my husband and I are watching Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune because we're secretly 75-year-old married couple. And I was like, my back hurts. I was like, no more hiking for me. My back hurts. This is 8 o'clock on the dot. It's like, I'm going upstairs. I'm gonna go take a bath. And then I'm going to bed. I'm tired. So I get in the bath. I'm like, oh, my back feels better. But 10, 12 minutes later, oh, my backache is back. And I'm like, so dumb. I didn't realize that went on for maybe an hour and a half. It's like, huh. So I texted my mom. I was like, my back hurts. I was like, but then it stops and then it starts again. She's like, darling, you're in labor. I was like, nah. She was like, no, you are. And then I threw up and I was like, oh, okay. But you know, they tell you, it feels like it starts feeling like period cramps, but I didn't feel it in my abdomen, not for hours. I only felt it in my back. So I was like, oh, it's just a backache. I'm a NICU nurse. You'd think I would know a little bit more about the signs of impending labor, but no. Oh God. Anyway, so that was what happened. And then I told my husband, I was like, okay, like, I think this is it. I'm not really sure. And then it was, so. But, you know, we were following, or I told him before I went to labor, I was like, you know, the 115 rule or the 511 rule.
511,
they're 5 minutes apart, lasting 1 minute for an hour or more, then that's when you call. I like blew past 5 minutes. I went from them being like 8 minutes apart to them being like 3 minutes apart. And my husband is a very like analytical, technical, he likes numbers kind of guy. And he was like, well, now we have to call. And I was like, no, I don't want to get sent home. I don't want to call. I don't want to go. He's like, this was your rule. I'm like, well, it's JJ, leave me alone. So I called the midwife and she said, you know, see how you feel in 2 hours and give me a call back. And then I called her again. And I was like, they're really close together. She's like, okay, you can come in. And they did not send me, thank God. But when she checked me when I got there, she's like, you're 1 centimeter. I was like, that's it. She's like, but these contractions are really strong. So let's check you in an hour. And then I was 4 centimeters and they admitted me. And I was like, it's the hospital where I work. I'm like, if I get sent home, they're all going to laugh at me. And the next time my mom at labor and delivery unit, they're going to be like, oh, there's that dummy who didn't know she was in labor. She had gas. She thought it was a baby. So I was like terrified of that. But then when they admitted me, I was like,
yeah. So how far away from the hospital were you?
19 minutes.
How was that ride?
It was fine. I mean, it's fine. The ride that I take to go to work. So yeah. I was pointing out all the things I see on my commute to my husband. I'm like, look at this house. They just got new siding. He's like, why are you talking about siding? But he was convinced I was going to give birth in the car. I promise you, that's not going to happen. He's like, well, you promised we'd go with the 115 rule and we didn't. I can't trust you. But it was fine. You know, it was... He was very nervous and yeah. I felt nervous. I was like absorbing that from him. And I was like, please come down. Like, you're making me feel anxious. But as soon as we got there, he felt better. I didn't give birth in the car. I think that was his only concern.
Did your water break or did that?
Nope. So another thing, people act like if you don't have a puddle at your feet, you're not in labor, but they broke my water.
Okay. Yeah. I found out recently from my doula that some babies are actually born still in the water sac. And she was telling me about that. I was like, I didn't know that was possible.
Yes. They come out, it's like a water balloon. And they like, if for people who don't, you know, some provider, healthcare providers don't break the water. They don't agree with it, or the person in labor doesn't request it or refuses it. So they're like, all right. And sometimes it would just, I'm glad I didn't do that. That would have been too freaky for me.
Like, not a fan.
I would have been nervous.
What was your prenatal care like? You mentioned you had a midwife.
Yeah. So I went to a pretty, how many doctors? I think there's 5 doctors, 2 midwives and a nurse practitioner. It's a pretty big practice. So I see one of the midwives for all my like well woman care. So like my annuals and paps and things like that. I saw her. She's the one who checked my IUD out. She was the one who I had an appointment with when I found out I was pregnant. She, my first like prenatal appointment, I went and talked to her. I absolutely love her. And then the midwife who admitted me actually is the only person in the group that I, cause you know, they want you to see everybody. She was on leave of absence because of COVID. She had like childcare issues. So she had just come back to work right before I went into labor. She was the only person I hadn't met, but she was amazing. And I absolutely loved her too. But they want you to see everybody. So I saw all of them. I saw all the docs, both midwives and the nurse practitioner during my pregnancy. And I really liked everybody. There were some doctors that I liked a little bit more than others. And there was one that I was like, if she's the doctor who is on call when I go into labor, I'm going to be kind of upset just because she was one. I mean, I'm very like pro. I always side with the healthcare providers usually because I know what it's like.
Yeah.
But I don't know. She was very like, she made me feel bad for gaining too much weight at one of my appointments, which I think is so, we already live in like a society that makes women feel so, or people in general, not just women, like feel so bad about their size and their weight and everything. And then I'm like, I'm growing a person. Like, what do you want from me? I only gained like 25 pounds the entire time I was pregnant, but 10 of those pounds was in like a 1 month span, but it was right after like the nausea went away and I was hungry and I had an appetite. But she made me feel really bad. She was like, well, you know, you're probably not making really healthy food choices, right? I'm like, how do you know? Like, don't assume that. Like, I don't know. But other than that, she was fine. But she was not the one that day. Thank goodness. It was a different doctor. But I didn't dislike her. I just wouldn't have been thrilled if she was the one who delivered me. And she wasn't. So that's good. But they were great. I'm very fortunate. They all talked to me like a patient. They didn't talk to me like a nurse, which was nice. That was something I was worried about. Yeah. Because a lot of times people think if you're like medically literate, they don't have to explain things to you, especially because they, you know, I go to deliveries for my job. So I understand what birth looks like, but they all talked to me like a patient, which was nice.
Okay. That does sound nice. It makes a big difference when your care providers, when you connect with them, when there's some kind of nice vibe there. If you aren't getting along with your care providers, it can actually put some complications in the delivery. So I'm glad to hear that you had good care there.
I'm very, very happy that I found them. I had only started going to them a couple of months before I got pregnant. I had switched from a different group because I wanted to deliver at my hospital because if something was wrong, I wanted my baby to go to my NICU. So I was very, very glad that I switched because I really like them. I'm in it for the long haul with them now because they're really, really great. So that is nice. I'm very fortunate because not a lot of people have that experience.
Yeah.
Which is sad.
So what was important to you in birth? Did you have a birth plan or anything like that?
Get the baby out safely and have us all go home. That was, I mean, it's before I was a NICU nurse, I wanted a home birth with a midwife and a doula and like my mom. That was what I wanted. And then once I started working in the NICU, I was like, I saw how quickly things can go wrong. And don't get me wrong, I don't think there's anything wrong with home birth. I think it's a wonderful option. But for me, I knew too much at that point. And I was like, oh, no, never mind. I'm going to have in the hospital. And like, but I didn't have a plan. I didn't know if I wanted an epidural. I didn't know if I want, you know, if I wanted Pitocin. I didn't know if I wanted them to break my water. I just kind of, because, you know, they say man plans and God laughs. So I just was like, I'm just going to roll with it and see what happens. And I kind of, you know, I tried to go with the flow because I feel like I know myself, if I built it up too much in my mind to be a certain way and it was different, I didn't want to look back and be like disappointed in myself or disappointed in my doctors and nurses. So I was just like, you know what, as long as everybody is safe at the end of the day, I don't really care what happens.
Yeah.
I tried to be flexible.
Tell me about how that went when you got to the hospital. What happened?
So we didn't leave here until like 2 o'clock in the morning. So it was the middle of the night. And one of my coworkers from before I worked in the NICU works in the emergency room, and you go in through the emergency room after like 8 p.m. So I texted her and I was like, can you walk me up to labor and delivery? She's like, oh, you're in labor. Sure. So she walked me up and I like stopped every 2 minutes because I was contracting. And then, you know, I got there and everybody was like, oh, you know, Meredith's here. They knew me because then, you know, NICU and LND works together. So they were all very nice. And then I went into, you know, triage, and that's when I got checked and they put me on the monitor. And that's when the midwife said that we would check back in an hour. And she's like, just try to get some rest, but you're on like a stretcher that's this wide. My poor husband was in like a plastic, like little bedside chair. He's like trying to curl up and get some, we were exhausted, you know, it was the middle of the night. And they were, you know, it felt like it had been over an hour before she checked me, but it felt very quickly because I was just, you know, you try to rest in between the contractions, like just close your eyes for a sec. And then when I would feel one coming, I would brace myself and then I would try to rest. And, you know, once they said they were going to admit me, they brought me right into the room. And then that's when the midwife started talking to me about like pain control options. And she's like, what do you want to do? And if I had slept, I probably would have skipped the epidural because I could handle it. But I was just so tired. And I was like, I'm never going to sleep if I'm having contractions every 2 minutes. So I was like, I'm really afraid to get an epidural. I had to get a spinal tap when I was in college because I was really sick. And ever since then, I've been really weird about like needle, not that anyone likes needles in their spine, but you know what I mean? Yeah. Like I was a little like, I don't want to say traumatized, but skeeved out by it. I was like, I don't want to do it again. But she was like, I knew the anesthesiologist from when I worked with adults in the same hospital. And she was like, you know, are you comfortable? I said, yes, just do it. And then once it was in, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I thought I didn't want this. This is amazing. I felt like a different person. It was so nice. But they were great. You know, they turn down the lights, and when they see you're having a contraction, their voices get really soft.
Yeah.
And they're just, you know, seasoned professionals. And it was weird being in the bed as opposed to being standing there waiting for the baby to come out.
Right.
It was, but they said, they were like, you know, you are the patient now, so let us do for it. Well, then I couldn't do anything because I couldn't walk, but they were like, you know, let us do for you. You know, but they were wonderful. And then, you know, I didn't get settled in the room until like 6 o'clock in the morning. And then I was able to get some sleep. And then at 8 o'clock, the day shift team came in and was talking to me. So it was a long day, but I slept in between. I did what I could, but you know, they tried their best to
group
things.
That's nice. Were you getting checked at any point during that period? Do you know how fast you were dilating?
Yeah. So I was 4 when they admitted me. And then probably around 8 o'clock, right before the night midwife left, she was like, would you be opposed? She asked, she did not tell, which I thought was really nice. She asked, would you be opposed to us breaking your water? You're only 6 cms now. She's like, with how much you're contracting, I would have thought you would have progressed a little bit more by now. I was like, do it. I don't care. I'm like, that's fine. And then she checked me and she was like, wow. I was like, what? She's like, your baby has a lot of hair. I was like, okay, thanks. But then they didn't check me for a couple hours. They were like, we're just going to let your body do what it needs to do. Mm-hmm. They checked me several hours later during the day. And I was like 9. Mm-hmm. Then they checked me again in a little while. And I was 10, but the baby was still really high. Like she wasn't down far in her station, wasn't down far enough. So they were like, oh, we're going to have you labor down. I'm like, what does that mean? But we're just going to sit you up. So gravity can kind of, they sat me up. I turned like, oh, you can't see my bedspread. My bedspread is white. I turned this white color and my heart rate like shot through the roof and my blood pressure like tanked. They were like, ah, what's wrong with her? I think it was just, I had so much, you know, epidural medication flooding through my body that it just kind of hit me all at once. And I had been flat for so many hours. You know, they sat me up, they gave me like essential oils to smell and cold rags on my, I didn't pass out, but I really looked like garbage.
Yeah.
They gave me a bunch of bags of fluid. They were like, you're really dehydrated. I was like, well, I don't want to drink anything because I threw up at home and I don't want to throw up again.
Yeah.
So they gave me a bunch of bags of fluid and that was okay. That was probably like, that was probably the most uncomfortable part of labor, other than like, you know, the contractions were painful, but then they went away. So I got the epidural, but I was like, oh God, if I faint, that would be so embarrassing. Yeah. But it helped, you know, and then it was time to push. But yeah, they checked me a couple times, but they always asked first. Mm-hmm. They were very respectful, which I think is sometimes people aren't their own. They don't advocate for themselves enough because they don't think to. They're like, all right, the doctor said we're doing this. Mm-hmm. But I didn't have that experience. They were always very respectful, which was really nice.
That is really, really good.
I wish everybody had that kind of experience.
Yeah. Did you think to do that just because of the person you are, or did you get any kind of coaching in that in your prenatal care?
No, they didn't really coach us about that. Do you mean like, advocating for myself?
Yeah, patient advocation.
No, but I didn't take any classes, and I read a lot of books about, not a lot, I read some books about like childbirth and everything and like preparing for it. But I think it's just more so a lot of it was talking to the other moms at work, like my patients' parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because nobody asks them how they're feeling. So we always try, because the focus is all, you know, once the baby comes out, it's like,
it's all about the baby.
You know,
yeah.
Which you're the same way. Like I didn't care about my own well-being. All I cared about was the baby, but I always try to ask the moms, like, how are you feeling? Like, and I'm like, how was your delivery? How's this? How's that? It makes them feel better to talk about it. And hearing what some of them experienced, like with different doctors, not my doctor, my doctor was great, but like, you know, they didn't even ask, because there are some doctors are old school and they're like, well, I have MD after my name, so lay down and let me do what I'm trained to do. And it shouldn't be like that in any aspect of healthcare, but especially something as like emotional as childbirth. So I think that's, I don't think it was so much that my care providers during my prenatal care encouraged me to do that. It was more, like you said, the person I am, and because of what I do for a living, I kind of knew what I expected out of my, not even my birth, just out of the way I was treated. And I didn't, it was, they were great. I didn't have to worry about it at all.
That's great.
Yeah, I'm very lucky.
So who all was in the room with you when it came time to push?
Just my husband, obviously, because of COVID, there was, no visitors on L&D. I don't know that I would have wanted anybody else in the room anyway, as far as visitors. I don't know if I would have wanted my mom, or my sister and I are really, really close. I don't know if I would have wanted them in the room. It was never an option, so I didn't even think about it. But so there's my husband, there's the doctor. The day shift nurse was there, and I pushed for so long that the shift change happened. So the day shift nurse stayed an hour after her shift ended to watch my baby be born, which was like, I think about her all the time. Oh, she's so nice. My husband and I still talk about her. the night the nurse was there, and I was the only person who was pushing at the time. So all the other nurses whose patients didn't need them came in to cheer me on, because they write your name on the board. And, the other nurses came in and they're like, oh, you can do it. And the doctor actually asked me at one point, I think she was getting a little miffed that there were so many people in the room. She was like, do you want them to leave? And I'm like, oh no. I was like, please, I live for the applause. I'm like, more people. I didn't care. And a lot of the nurses there were newer. So I'm like, if they need to see a birth, that's fine. But I'm very, if there had been residents or medical students, I would have been like, come on in. I'm not shy about stuff like that. it was a lot of nurses. And then my day shift nurse, my doctor, my husband. It was a lot of people. I didn't care. I loved it. More than merrier.
Tell me about the pushing. How did that go for you?
It was so hard. I was doing it wrong for the first hour. I pushed for 3 hours.
Oh.
Almost exactly 3 hours. I was doing it wrong. And my husband's like, you were like a country clubbing it in the beginning. You were taking it easy. I was like, I wasn't taking it easy. I wasn't doing it right. And that is something else that nobody tells you. There is a wrong way to put, there are several wrong ways to push. And I was doing all of them. And then, I progressed a little, but not as much as I should have been. And at probably an hour and 40-ish minutes in, the OB was like, okay. She was like, listen, because I told her at one of my prenatal appointments that I really, because when I went over, I was very nervous that they were going to induce me and the induction was going to fail and I was going to need a C-section. I didn't want a C-section. I had my appendix out once. That was enough to have something removed from my abdominal wall. Okay. And she was like, listen, she's like, I know you don't want to hear this. She's like, but if things don't start moving along, we are going to have to talk about it. And I was like, nope. And then my body, I guess, got scared into figuring it out. And then another hour and change later, she came out, but it was not, I've never been so tired in my whole life. I think pushing a baby out in 15 minutes is exhausting. It doesn't matter how long it takes. It's exhausting no matter what, but 3 hours of pushing was a really long time. It was a long time. I pushed for 3 hours, but it's weird. You think the pushing is going to hurt. It doesn't hurt. It almost, because they turned the epidural down. I asked them to. I wanted to feel what I was supposed to be doing. And it didn't hurt. It almost felt like I could tell, it's weird. They say, oh, you'll have an urge to push. I'm like, no, I won't. But I knew what they meant. That I think it's called the Ferguson reflex. I could be wrong. But it's like when your cervix is telling you it's time to push, it's something happens. And once I figured out what that felt like, I was like, okay. And then I could see in the doctor's glasses how different it looked when, in the reflection, how different it looked when I was pushing.
Okay.
And then I stopped looking in her glasses because I didn't want to see that. They're like, do you want a mirror? I was like, absolutely not. Good. I know what it looks like because I've seen how many strangers give birth. I'm like, I'm good.
Don't want to see my own.
I really don't, Yeah. I'll leave it up to my imagination. They kept telling my husband to look. I'm like, you can look. I'm not looking. Hell no. But yeah, it was definitely tight. They tried all different techniques and positions. They had me on my side. They had me holding onto a sheet. It was a lot. But once I figured it out, I was like, okay, this is what it feels like. And now I'm doing it right. And the next morning when she came to check on me, the doctor was like, I promise it will not be like that if you ever have another baby. I was like, oh, I'm never having another baby ever.
You're like, I'm done. That's
she's
enough.
Like, everybody says that. But yeah, it was very, very long and very tiring. I was very proud of myself. Like, very proud of myself.
You got it.
I did. I was like, I was very proud. Good. Very glad it was over, but very proud.
So you said she came out. What did you guys, did you have any trauma or anything like that with it? Or was it?
Yeah, I had a third degree tear.
Okay.
And when she told me that, I was like, oh, I said a bad word. And she's like, it's not that bad. I was like, no, that's kind of bad. She's like, you're right. But she was like, I have to go. One of my other moms is like crowning. I have to go catch the baby. I'll be right back. So I'm like, okay. I'm like sitting there with my baby on my chest. I didn't care. She came back after the other baby was delivered. She's like, all right, let's do your repair. The adrenaline was kind of starting to wear off at that point. And I felt I've read the epidural wore off at that point too. So I was laying there. I felt every single little stitch. And she was like, you have to hold still. I was like, it hurts. I'm sorry. So she lidocaine me up and then I was able to be still. But yeah, it was a pretty significant she's like, it's not the worst third degree I've ever seen, but it's not the best. I was like, because I said, I was like, give it to me straight. I want to know what I'm in for.
Right.
Yeah, so that wasn't fun. I was so afraid of it happening and then it happened, so I was really mad. But after a while I was like, oh well, what can you do? She came out. That was all I wanted, was for her to come out safely, and she did. So yeah, that was.
And she was healthy?
Oh yeah. Oh god. Healthy as a horse, pink as a pig, growing like a rooster, the whole barnyard. Yes, she's very healthy. She's still very healthy.
That's great. Yes. Did you get the whole golden hour experience with her?
Yes. And, you know, I said, I was like, the one thing that's making me able to tolerate this repair is like, I just kept holding her and looking at her. And that was like, cause I know how important skin to skin is for everybody.
Yeah.
And I was just like, give me. I want her. When they like took her away to weigh her, they weigh her in the room. I was like, I miss her. Give her back. She was over there for like not even 10 minutes. And I was like losing my mind, but yes, I did. And it was like, if it didn't feel real, it's so weird. It's like, it's the stranger, but you feel like you've known them your whole life. It was wild. It was so trippy. And I was just like, we didn't find out the sex. So, and everyone says, well, the mother knows. And I would have bet anything that this child was a boy. I would have bet anything. And when she came out and it was the day shift nurse who was like, it's a girl. I went, again, I said a bad word. I said, no way. She was like, I'm serious. For probably the whole time I was holding her, I just kept saying, I can't believe you're a girl. I really thought she was going to be a boy. I was so surprised. I couldn't believe it. But yeah, I spent my golden hour just like snuggling her and like pulling back her diaper to see if she really was a girl. I thought they were lying. I thought they were joking. And I was like, everybody said the mother always knows is full of it, because I had no idea. It was fun. That was part of what got me through pushing, was being like, I have to know what the sex of this kid is. I can't wait anymore. That got me through. But yeah, so we got that nice golden hour, which was nice.
Oh, that's great. Did she nurse, or was that part of your plan?
Yes, that was something that I said I would try my best, but if it wasn't working, I wasn't going to beat myself up over it. She did nurse. She was, and still is, the most voracious child I've ever seen in my entire life. She loved to nurse. I had a ridiculous oversupply. I donated my milk 3 separate times because I had so much of it. Wow. I didn't know what to do with it because she was such a good nurse. I just produced so much. I had mastitis 4 times because of it. And she was a great nurser. She made it very, very easy for me. Even the lactation nurse was like, wow, your baby's hungry. I was like, she everybody was, she was when she was born, she was like 75th percentile for her weight. By her 1 month appointment, she was like 95th. She's a big girl. She loved to eat, still does. And I loved breastfeeding. That's very lucky, because people act like it's the most natural thing in the world, and it's, your baby knows. That isn't true. Some babies are dopey. They don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And then you feel so bad. You feel like you're doing the wrong thing if you supplement, or if you decide to switch to formula. It's so sad, because like nobody should feel that way. And like, I'm lucky that I didn't, but I was not about to beat myself up if it didn't work out. It's not worth it.
That's a great attitude.
Right? I mean, again, I think that's something that I really picked up from my moms at work. They're, you know, if my supply is so low, and what is she gonna eat? And I'm like, well, we have donor milk and we have formula. Your baby is not gonna starve. Promise. Don't hope it isn't breast milk the best. I'm like, as long as they have something in their tummy, they don't care what it is.
Yeah.
Just feed your baby something. That's all I ask. We need to like change the dialogue on that. Even absolutely. Now, you know, fed is best, but it's not pervasive enough. It needs to, we really are doing moms a disservice by making them feel bad.
Yeah.
Having a child is hard enough.
So you mentioned that your postpartum maybe wasn't the greatest experience. Can you tell me about that?
Absolutely. I'd be happy to. I had a tear, and I don't know how. I'm very graphic because, again, I'm a nurse. Nothing grosses me out.
Bring it on.
Try to not be too graphic. No, I had a tear, a lot of scar tissue, because she was sitting in my like pelvic canal for so long. She put all this pressure like on my whole perineum, so I developed a fissure, an anal fissure, which was more painful in childbirth. It was awful. I had to go to 2 different GIs to get one of them to prescribe me something to fix it. It was a nightmare. And then I wound up going to I developed an allergic reaction to the peri pads that they gave me. So I had this like my thighs, my whole like from my hips to like the top of my thighs was so like irritated and raw. And I still had a tear to contend with. And then on top of that, I had rip-roaring postpartum depression and anxiety, which caused me to always be like this, which caused everything to heal really, really overly tight. So then I started going to pelvic floor PT, which every single person who has had a baby should go to. I don't know why. Well, I do know why more people don't go. It's not covered by insurance and it's ridiculously expensive. And there was one 40 minutes from my house. That was the nearest one that I could go to. And I'm like, I had to go though. I couldn't not go. It was terrible. And if I ever wanted to have another baby, I needed to get things taken care of down there. So I was going to that. They wanted me once a week. I was like, I can't go once a week. I was like, I gotta get every 2 weeks I can come.
Yeah.
So wound up doing that. And then I was really, really bad. And this is on me, but I was really bad at asking for help. Like I thought I could, and I think it is my postpartum depression therapist. Sorry, there's a net. It was on my plant. Chew. Sorry. I'm sorry. My therapist was like, you don't know how many, she's like 75% of the patients I see are nurses, teachers, and social workers, like people in like a giving kind of caring role. She's like, because they have a very hard time accepting help and accepting care because they're used to being the caregivers. I had a really hard time asking for help. And at my 6-point checkout, the OB was like, you're doing too much around the house. I can tell. She's like, you're not healing the way you should. She's like, you're starting to prolapse and that needs to stop. And that was when I started going to pelvic floor PT, which was also like a mini therapy session. Cause I would like go in there and I'd be like crying while we're doing my exercises. I'm like, it's just so hard. And she's like, I know. She was like, and COVID I think had a really, really big, really big thing to do with that because we were just, this was before vaccines. This was before, you know, it was still, I don't want to say in its infancy, it was like 7 months into it, but we were very nervous about having anybody around the baby. So like the first week that we were home, you know, nobody visited us in the hospital. The first week that we were home, you know, immediate family came They each stayed for like half hour. They wore masks. We like basically dumped Purell over their entire bodies as soon as they walked in, and they stayed. And then they left because it was just, we were just so nervous, and that was it. So everybody visited once. And then my mom came, she quarantined and then came up here and then took a COVID test and was negative. So she came and stayed with us for like a week in November, I guess. And baby was like two and a half months old at that point. It was the best week of my life. I was like, oh my gosh, I got to sleep. I got to, like, she held the baby while I took a shower. And, you know, she, my husband and I both got to sleep in one morning. It was just, oh my God, it was so nice. And she was like, you know, she got kind of sad. She was like, this is how it should have been in the beginning. She's like, I should have been here. I said, you weren't here because we wouldn't let you come in. It's not like you, you know. But then, you know, the holidays came, and don't get me wrong, like, it was nice, just the three of us, like, you know, our little family having all the holiday, you know, I was on maternity leave through all the holidays. New Jersey has probably one of the best maternity leaves in the country. So I was very fortunate about that. And, you know, we were home all through the holidays, and it was nice, just the three of us. But like her first Christmas, like, my family came over and just waved at her through the window. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is not how our childhood should be. And I was, oh God, I was so sad. It was a lot. So I think COVID really contributed a lot to my woes, as I call them, because it was having, like I said, having a baby is hard enough, but I felt very, very isolated, very isolated. My husband was working from home. The one good thing about COVID, oh, that he was home, because if he wasn't busy, I can be like, take this baby so I can pee and I can run and pee and make a snack and that, you know. But that was the one silver lining, because we were very, very isolated. We had no help, and that was on us, but we wouldn't have been comfortable with anything else. But now, as soon as everyone was vaccinated, it was like the baby conga line. We're like, come on in, come in, baby. And it was so, as terrible as it was, she didn't remember it, you know. Mm-hmm. She doesn't know that that's what the first 6 months of her life was like. So it was all worth it. Now, you know, now she interacts with people. She's downstairs with my mom right now, and I can hear her laughing. Like, she's living her best life. And I'm like, it's all worth it. Yeah. But that was, yeah, it was a lot mentally and physically. My recovery was very difficult. And I really, it took a long time to like get like Humpty Dumpty, like put back together again. But, mm-hmm. you know, I can do hard things, and I did. So
good.
Good job, me.
Good job. No, like, I'm really proud of you, especially for going and seeking out that pelvic floor therapy. Cause it can be really hard to ask for help. And it sounds like you were limited in some of your options, especially with family coming around afterwards. So good job doing that.
Thanks. So you have to, at one point I was like, I'm never going to get better sitting around being sad about it, you know? And it was the same reason why I asked for a referral to a postpartum depression therapist from my OB, because I was like, I'm not going to feel better on my own. I kept waiting to snap out of it, and it just didn't happen. Mm-hmm. So I had to put myself first for a little bit. And then once I was feeling better, I was a better parent. You know, I was more able to be there for my baby because I wasn't sad and I wasn't in pain. So everybody wins. Yeah, it was a lot. It was a lot. But even just asking for help made me feel better. Just telling someone I needed help before I even got it was very helpful. I just wish more people who gave birth could advocate for themselves like that. But it's like we said, you kind of push yourself to the back burner once the baby is born. And it's like, it's sad, but it's just the way it is.
It's so, so important to, I think, tell new moms that they need to advocate for themselves in so many ways. Like, your whole story is about advocation, from what I can hear. You know, you advocated for yourself in the hospital, you advocated for your physical health and for your mental health. And that's made all the difference for you.
Yes. Once I started doing that, it was like night and day.
Yeah.
But we're kind of, the guilt is so real when you're a parent, when especially a first time parent or a parent to a very small baby, like a new baby, you feel awful for doing anything for yourself.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, you can't pour from an empty cup. No. Nope. You have to take care of yourself first. And that's like the biggest message that I try, especially now back at work. I tell my moms all the time, I'm like, how's your mental state? Are you feeling okay? Do you need the number to a therapist? And they're like, please, ma'am, relax. I'm like, I want you to be well. I'm like a fierce advocate for it, which I'd rather be the crazy nurse trying to send everyone to a therapist than have one mom go home and feel that like despair or whatever, or pain, either one. They're both equally as terrible.
Well, one of the questions I ask most of the moms I talk to is, coming out of it on the other end, what's the number one thing you would want other moms to take away or hear? Would you say that would be it? Or did you have anything else that you would want to share there?
I would just say, ask for help, because everything gets easier when you take care of yourself. Your baby is better off when you take care of yourself.
Yeah,
that is like, I think if I could give some advice to my like pregnant self, that would be it. Like, you need to take care of yourself, and not in a selfish way, but it's like I said, you can't pour from an empty cup. You have to take care of yourself. So there's no shame in asking for help. You should never feel guilty about it.
Yeah.
So that I think is probably the most important message I could give. I wish someone had told me that.
Man, I really appreciate you taking the time to sit down and tell your story.
Please.
I know. Yeah,
I'm happy to do it. I talk so much, in case you haven't. I'm like saying to myself, I'm like, maybe I get a chance to talk. I can't help. I've been this way my entire life. The baby is the same way. She missed. The pediatrician was like, wow, she really talks a lot. I'm like, I don't know where she gets that from.
How old is she now?
15 months.
15 months. Is she sleeping okay?
Oh, she's a dream. She really is. She sleeps really well.
Good.
Even when she was sick, she had her first cold last week, and she was, even with that, she was a good sleeper, good eater. She's very healthy. I'm very, very lucky.
Man, that's wonderful to hear.
She's a good girl.
Yeah.
I'll keep her. I threw out the receipt, so I can't return her anything. That's my favorite joke. It's so stupid.
All right. Well, I think anything else you wanted to share?
No, I thank you so much for coordinating with me. I know our calendars did not sync up for a very long time because I forgot about a time difference. And you didn't know what day it was.
No, I don't know what day it is. I'm working from home with a toddler. So.
You have an almost 1 year old. I'm surprised you even know what planet you live on. Well, thank you so much for chatting with me.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Good luck with all the rest of your episodes.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Normal Birth Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or are interested in being on the show, please send me an email to normalbirthpod@gmail.com.